Today we are reviewing Raiders of the Lost Ark, 1981. I mean, this is a movie for the ages, right? Harrison Ford playing Indiana Jones, trying to go after the Lost Ark of the Covenant. The Lost Ark of the Covenant from the Bible, the very one before the Nazis can get it. We're going to talk about, is this an appropriate movie for a family? Who's it appropriate for? What messages come through this movie? This one's for the ages, and we're going to go after it. Raiders of the Lost Ark, today on Rocket Pop.
Rocket Pop is gone.
Welcome to Rocket Pop Reviews, giving Christian families a reliable source for reviews of movies, shows, books, and podcasts.
Every four computers now have primary control of critical vehicle functions.
We're serious about the fun of entertainment.
Nice to be in
orbit. Roger, 0G, and I feel fine.
And now your hosts, Steve Manuel and Jeff Davenport.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Woo!
Love it. It's the story of Indiana Jones. This is a hero who's just so... It's Americana. This is about as American as it gets when it comes to heroes. You got Luke Skywalker, Superman, and Indiana Jones. It's the story of Indiana Jones, a globetrotting archaeologist, as he attempts to recover the lost Ark of the Covenant from the Bible. Yes, the one from the Bible. Before... the Nazis. This is in 1936, I think, before the Nazis can use it for supernatural powers world domination.
Wow.
What a strange movie. This movie came out in 1981, hot on the heels of Star Wars. In film history, what this was starting with Jaws, going into Star Wars, Close Encounters is in there. Then you've got Raiders of the Lost Ark, the first of the Indiana Jones movies. This is the beginning of the blockbuster era. Before that, people go see movies, they'd be interested and excited, but there's not like a line around the... The reason they were called blockbusters is because the line would be around the block of the movie theater.
Is that
people
right?
People were dying to go in because... You can find old photos from when Star Wars opened. And people, get this, it's so bananas. People would wait in line before like two showings, knowing I'm going to wait while they all watch the movie. They're coming out. I'm buying my ticket. Now the next group's watching it. And then I get to go in to see it. Raiders of the Lost Ark was right in line with that. It was hot on the heels of Star Wars. A little backstory on Raiders of the Lost Ark. George Lucas and Steven Spielberg, these were the guys who drove the blockbuster era. Spielberg had made Jaws, Close Encounters, and George Lucas made Star Wars. Well, when he was about to release Star Wars, George Lucas, very kind of nervous, Nelly guy, like, I don't think this movie's going anywhere.
He's always talking like this.
Yeah,
he always talks with his chin down. With
a beard.
And inside that beard was all sort of anxiety. And so he said, I don't want to be around when Star Wars gets released. So I'm going to go to Hawaii. And Steven Spielberg is just the golden retriever. And he's like, yeah, I'll go with you, man. That sounds great. Okay. And so they were sitting out on the beach and they made a little bet. And it was, I think the bet was something like Spielberg saying to Lucas, I know Star Wars is going to be a hit. And Lucas, I don't think it's a hit. And I think the bet was something like, if it's a hit, you and I are making something together. And that something together was Raiders of the Lost Ark. George Lucas always had in the back of his mind, he loved old-timey serials, not Fruit Loops, but these little short movies that they would put in front of feature films back in the 1950s. And he loved these little Flash Gordon shows or Rocket Man in the World of Yesterday, you know, those kind of things. And he always wanted to make, that's what Star Wars came from, but he always wanted to make one of those that was more of like an adventurer kind of guy. And he liked the idea of a James Bond type who was an archaeologist. So he pitched that to Spielberg and Spielberg's like, yes, that's our thing. Well, of course, Star Wars was a huge hit. And so they colluded to create Raiders of the Lost Ark. It was directed by Steven Spielberg, and it was produced and co-written by George Lucas. It was really based off of his core idea. And as I said a moment ago, Raiders of the Lost Ark is the story of an archaeologist trying to find the Ark of the Covenant from the Bible.
That's so crazy.
The very thing. I mean, yeah, you look now and go, oh, they'd never, nobody in a movie would touch a biblical concept.
No.
But it is the Ark of the Covenant. You see this thing. You see the powers there.
One of the most endearing things about this movie to me is that I read about Steven Spielberg coming up with this story. Did he contribute to the story?
Yeah, Lucas had the general idea, but it was the two of them together that spitballed it into what it became.
Yeah, and didn't you send me this huge, there's a written out
transcript.
History of their conversations about the movie?
It was three people. It was Lucas, Spielberg, and Lawrence Kasdan, who was a up-and-coming writer who'd established himself, and it was the three of them just in story conferences throwing ideas out.
It's so
such
fun.
A fun read.
And you can totally see what you said, which is Spielberg is kind of like his era's Quentin Tarantino. He's an enthusiast. He has got ideas out everywhere. It could be his leg could explode. Yeah. I mean, he's always got some ideas. And to me, it's so endearing that you kind of see this in other works of Spielberg, but I know we're talking about a popcorn movie, but he has this honor for the biblical story. And like, there is nothing in this movie that ever treats the ark or the presence of God as anything but sacred. And the whole ethic of the movie is, can you believe these boneheaded Nazis? They're going to act like the word of God is something that you could just buy and sell to get what you want out of it. I mean, it's crazy.
Aren't there stories like that in the scriptures?
Yes.
Guys who think I can get the power of God and use it for my own purposes. Well, one of the reasons we're reviewing this movie, and we'll come back to this throughout the podcasts, is this idea of memory lane. If you're like Steven and I, you're raising a family and you're going back through sometimes and going, gosh, I loved this movie when I was a kid or when I was in high school. That was such a great movie. And so sometimes we want to dust off these movies and go, is this still a good movie? Is it an appropriate movie? Is it the kind of thing you might want to share with your family?
And if you've had the experience, which I think both of us have had, which is you go, oh, I love this movie. Let's press play in front of the whole family. And then 4 minutes in, you go, oh, what? Maybe I didn't remember this movie right. Sorry, everybody.
How embarrassing. How embarrassing.
For instance, can I show Back to the Future to my 8-year-old? Nope. You can't.
And it'll go down two roads. One is, they're saying those words? I don't remember that. And that movie isn't very good, is it? Boy, I saw it when I was a kid.
Just not a good movie.
Yeah, just not a good movie. Man, Raiders, let me just say this, and we'll talk about appropriateness, but Raiders is, you said this phrase in it, it is the quintessential popcorn movie.
Oh,
you're gonna sit and watch action, excitement. Now the only problem, if you haven't seen this movie before, the only issue in terms of pure enjoyment is this movie was, and this is a good word, it was so seminal. It was the seed from which so many things came after it that if you've seen all the things that came after it but not the thing itself, you might go, cliche, seen this.
Yes.
It's only because it came from this. Like,
that's
this
right.
is where it all came from.
That's right.
That said, I'll say it's a known fact. Everything that came after were shadows of the thing itself.
It's like listening to the Beatles in the 90s and going like, what makes this so unique? Every other thing I listen to sounds like the Beatles. That's because they blew everybody's mind. That's why.
And you get to a point where you go, oh, wait, the Beatles are better than all those things that came out.
right.
And that's Raiders. Nobody's, even all of the sequels didn't come close to what Raiders of the Lost Ark
Raiders
did.
Of the Lost Ark is like your grandfather making a steak. You could make the same steak today the same way, and it holds up pristine. There's nothing wrong with Raiders of the Lost Ark.
It's a great, pure movie. It is, I can't remember who said this phrase, probably Martin Scorsese. It's pure cinema, meaning you can't read this story and get intrigued. You have to let it all wash over you. It is action, excitement. It's so fun. We haven't mentioned his name yet. Harrison Ford is the star of this. He came hot off the heels of Star Wars, and he was, you know, Han Solo, like, nah, we'll see. And they put him in this.
Can he lead his own movie?
Yeah. And how. He's making every scene his own. So a little bit about what comes through in this movie.
Can he be a guest on a talk show, Jeff?
No, never, never, no, never, no, 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 never.
But open a movie? Yeah.
Now, I will. It's not all him. It's the writing as well. There are such wonderful lines in here. And I imagine a lot of that comes back to Lawrence Kasdan. But the way he delivers them, this movie, as, you know, punching it as it is and stunts as it is and excitement as it is, there's some genuinely laugh out loud moments where they say these ironic statements at this one moment. And what they said when they set out to make the movie is, we don't want this guy to be Superman, meaning he's not indestructible. There's this wonderful little moment where Indiana Jones is getting the tar beaten out of him outside of this airplane. And the guy wants to fight him some more. And he's laying on the ground and he just goes, yeah, I'll get up. He's as if to say, I know we got to keep fighting.
But I know, there'll be more
fighting. Give me a second to get up and fight you some more.
Yes. You mentioned there's action, there's this comedy through line. And another thing that I noticed watching it the last time was how sophisticated the storytelling is, that it's like a caper, that there's a hint here and there's a B plot here and there's stuff moving and they weave it all through so seamlessly. You know, when you're writing a script, you want there to be an action scene every 7 to 10 minutes. It's like there's this one layer on top of it. We got to get the beats for the action right. We got to get the beats for the laughs right. We got to get the beats for the spy story right. We got to get the love interest story right. And it's just like a machine. It's like, take this movie, analyze it, put it in a computer, and then give us 50 more movies that work exactly like this movie.
Yes. There was a screenwriter who used this phrase. I always like this. When they would write action movies, they said every 20 minutes you need a whammy. Die Hard whammy is he's going to jump off the side of the building with a fire hose, you know, holding on. That's a whammy moment. This movie is wall-to-wall whammy. Like, you're just feeling the whammy. It's not like, right. Oh, they're going to fight. No. It's going to be in a unique situation.
Yes.
They're going to be on the wing of an airplane that's about to take off. There's so much going on here.
So much.
A little more on the overview. Indy is convinced. He's actually a university professor and who's also an archaeologist who goes and finds old relics. And we see that at the beginning. It has like a James Bond setup where we're seeing the end of his last mission before he goes into the next one. And it's functional because it sets up this bad guy.
Absolutely.
Who he faces off against. So he's convinced by his boss, look, the Nazi, or actually it's by the US government, and this is right on the cusp of World War II. We know Hitler is trying to get the Ark of the Covenant so that he can have some sort of power. So they convince Indy to go get it. Well, there's this, you're thinking, oh, he believes in that power too, so he's going to go stop him. No. Indy has a discussion with his boss, and Marcus, the boss, is like, Indy, this is a really strange thing you're going after. Like, you need to, let's not just jump to this, because Indy's like, I'm going to go get this thing for the museum. What are we talking about? And he has this really great phrase when Marcus is saying, it gets real calm. We're in Indy's house. By the way, for you film nerds, it's a single shot, that whole scene until the very end. And Marcus gets very serious. It's like nothing you've ever gone after before. And Indy laughs it off and he goes, you know me, Marcus. I don't believe in magic, a lot of superstitious hocus pocus. I'm going after a find of incredible historical significance. You're talking to me about the boogeyman. And then he says, you know what a careful fella I am. And he pulls out a revolver and throws it in his suitcase as if to say, I'll take care of things. Like, look, you're talking about, the power of God.
Right.
It's a gold box that's historically important. I'm going to overanalyze. I'm a humanist, so I will defend myself. Thank you very much.
That's right.
And he goes off on
with
this
my
adventure.
Muscles. I'll with, take care of things.
And, you know, Steven said a moment ago, take this movie, analyze it, put it in a computer and spit it out. It could, you could do that. Except for the ending. The ending of this movie breaks every rule in screenwriting. There's a wonderful screenwriter, a guy named Damon Lindelof, who was the driving force behind the show Lost. He's made a number of things, and he wrote a great piece you can find online. I think it's called A Love Letter to Raiders of the Lost Ark. And it's just his effusion about how great a movie it is. But it's also him going, but I don't understand you. Why does it work at the end?
It shouldn't work
because it is a, I guess we'd say a literal, you know, you don't want this in screenwriting. It's a literal deus ex machina, where we've seen Indy be the action hero. I'm stopping things. I'm making things happen. And at the end, he's tied up in the climax of the movie and does nothing. Who does everything, Steven?
God.
God shows up in incredible power. Now, I don't want to talk too much about that, but what's fascinating is that even though Indy is tied up and does nothing and God goes boom, 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 it feels so satisfying. It somehow feels, in any other movie, if, you know, someone's about to fight, Superman's about to fight the bad guy at the very end of the movie and a giant steel girder falls out of nowhere and crushes the guy.
Yeah.
And that ends, you'd go, what the heck?
Right.
Not so with this, because it's tied in with this subtle theme about belief, supernatural things. Indiana Jones has it's really strange to say this about that character. He has a character arc, and it starts with, look, what you see is what you get. Quit bothering me with this nonsense. And he's told all the way by a variety of characters, watch out, this thing, watch out. There's something else. Watch out. He's even told by the bad guy, this thing is a transmitter for talking to God. He's told that this thing is more and more powerful than you think it is. And really what it's saying is God is more powerful. God is more real.
Right.
And he comes face to face with that at the end. And it saves his bacon.
Yeah. If I can contrast that to our review of the movie Superman, one of the dissatisfying things about the end of that movie is that he uses a lever we've never seen. And we didn't know that it was there. We've been having a conversation with somebody who's commented on our YouTube channel about this same thing. And it doesn't feel fair. It feels like a cheat that happens at the end of Superman. Now, what happens at the end of Raiders is that we have a new hero in the movie that we've never seen. It's been discussed a couple of times, but Indy's not the hero of his own movie. God is the hero, and what Indy does that we didn't see at the beginning, I thought this is where you're going, is that he has this newfound respect for the presence of God, and he does something at the end where he saves himself and he saves the girl that he would not have done at the beginning of the movie, and it preserves him from this destructive power of God. And it's just, as you say, it's crazy to go... It's crazy that the movie works, that you have an outside force that we've only hinted at that comes in and ends the movie, is the big climax of the movie. And just to reiterate an earlier point, it's crazy to have a movie in the movie theater in the United States of America in 1981 where God is the hero of the movie. And it was made by Steven Spielberg. What are you talking about? This really happened?
And they're going back to the ending, if all along in Superman, they had given us little tiny hints that lever was possible, it would actually feel satisfying. They say that a great ending is when you're surprised, but you should have expected it all along. That's a perfect ending. This movie, you can look back and go, you know what? I should have seen it coming. They were telling me all along that God's an active power. Oh, it was there all along. This movie, about a fifth of the way through, the government guys are sitting down with Indiana Jones.
Explain this.
He pulls out a giant Bible, an illustrated Bible, and shows a photo. He shows an illustration of the Israelites holding the Ark.
Yes.
And the dumb the dumb government guys going, what's that? What's that coming out of the ark? Because all of these armies are falling over. And he goes, wrath of God, power of God, you know? And again, that rhymes with where we're going at the end of this movie.
Yes, absolutely.
Y'all,
it shows you, when he opens up the Bible, he basically shows the guys, this is what the climax of this movie will be. Look at this. Look at this.
And it's such a great, you know, it's such a clever way for, again, forgive me if I'm overreading. It's such a clever way for a Jewish man, Steven Spielberg,
yes,
to sock the Nazis in the jaw.
Yeah.
because the end of this movie, and maybe this is a good time to transition into how appropriate is it. The end of this movie is gruesome. It is, there are violent moments all throughout the movie, but nothing gruesome. The end of this movie is famously gruesome. It's a little, it's fakey because this is 1981, but so a little personal thing. 1981, I was a 8-year-old kid, and I remember we were out at the mall one day, my sister and I and my parents, and there was a movie theater in the mall. Remember those days? There was a movie theater in the mall. Kansas City, Briarwood right. Mall. And my parents are like, we're going to go see this movie called Raiders of the Lost Ark. And you'll like it. It has Han Solo in it. Oh, well, okay. I go into this going, they're going after the Ark. And I think my parents said that. Well, of course, I'm thinking they're going to go find Noah's Ark. Well, I don't know. All right. Well, within the first 10 minutes, there is a gruesome moment in the beginning. And I'm like, what are we doing? I got real spooked. And by the end, I have vague memories that I was like, so in. And then these moments at the end are like, okay, that was great. Now I'm scarred. So this is cool. But
my parents absolutely did not take me to this movie when I was 8 years old. But whenever I did see it, maybe I was 16 or I don't know, but some of those images when the wrath of God shows up, they were tattooed on my brain pretty instantly. And like, that's the scariest, freakiest thing I've ever seen. At that time, that was probably the case.
And so what's hard is, you know, there will be movies that we'll talk about, memory lane movies, and we'll go, yeah, bring your kids in. Like, you can show it to your kids, but just at about minute 42, you're going to want to skip this little moment.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard to do that when that's the climax of them. We've gotten this far. Okay, you can't watch the last 2 minutes. Anyway, now they're at the Smithsonian. Wait, you chipped me. So it's hard. That part is quite gruesome. And that said, am I wrong here? If it wasn't, it wouldn't have the punch of like the wrath of God isn't, oh no, they all fell over dead. What a bummer.
God is a little angry. There must be some freaky suffering that happens. Yes.
Freaky suffering. Yes. Oh man. When they show, I guess we're supposed to think it's the angel of death coming towards the camera. It's all so creepy, spooky. Yes. It's tattooed in your mind. There are violent moments all throughout. There is lots of punching. There's lots of gunshots. And there's some cusses, but not nearly, strange to say, probably not nearly as much as you remember, especially knowing what we know about most movies today.
Right.
So when it comes to the appropriateness of this, let's go back to messaging. We talk a lot about having a little commentary with your family as you watch something. A good lens through which they can see this is, hey, everyone, we're going to watch a rollicking good time. It's a fun, crazy, exciting movie. Watch for this. Watch as Indiana Jones starts off as I guess you could sort of say a man of science, a man of logic, a rational, you know, I'm a rational human being. And by the end, let's see where he is by the end of this movie. Where do you think he's going to go, and how is that going to play out? It's a good little lens through which you can help your kids see this.
That's great.
Steven, who do you think this is appropriate for? Where's our demographic for this?
The first thing I would like to use is the word boys. So, it's made for males. males will walk out of this movie punching each other. Thinking like, could I buy a whip somewhere?
We haven't mentioned the whip. That's right.
Let's be tough guys. And let's be a guy that can suffer a little bit and keep going to a goal, so that he could maybe one day win the heart of a very masculine woman like Karen Allen.
Real quick, I got a buddy when he doesn't like any movie where the main character is passive. I don't like, and there's a lot of those. Indiana Jones, I think it's safe to say, is the most active character in movie history. Mm. Nothing will stop this guy. At the low point, every movie has an end of act two going into act three, which is the low point. And in most movies, that's where the hero's going, I shouldn't have ever even tried this. And he's about to walk away. He or she's about to walk away. And someone comes aside and goes, no, you can do it. Okay. Yeah. And they go back in. Yeah. The end of act two is just, things are terrible. And it just makes Indy go, and that's why I'm doing it that much more.
Yes. So I would say, to answer your question, maybe a 17 to 25 year old man, young man, would be like the ideal target for this movie.
I always think when you say 16 or 17, most people are going to gauge down a little. I probably wouldn't have a problem with a 14 year old boy taking a swing at this. I'd set him up and go, look, the end is going to be a little gruesome. You know,
there's a little bit of a sexy overtone, isn't there, in a couple of spots?
I'll tell you what happens is they get to a quiet moment. Indiana Jones and his little erstwhile gal pal, they're starting to get back together, and they kiss a little, and it's such a great moment. Indy's so exhausted by everything he's done to that point, he falls asleep while she's kissing him. So you're like, oh, this might get dicey, and it takes a funny turn.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, that's really the only moment. There's a drinking contest at the beginning with the woman. It's played for laughs. It's
played like Bugs Bunny and drinking. You know, it's
this is yeah, like this is kind of a Warner Brothers cartoon to some degree a lot of ways. But for I got a friend who's a dad of boys, and I think you might raise your eyebrow at this, but I think his son was 12. And his son was like, that was just the best. It feels like a dad son bonding thing.
Yeah.
You know, you're passing something down that you might've watched before. And it's just it's a great movie. I'll throw this out, by the way. If you're like us, you're like, ah, I love the Indiana Jones character. Love these movies. You know what a safer on-ramp is Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. That's the third one. We'll probably review it on one of these, but that one's a little bit tamer, a lot tamer than the second one, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, and definitely tamer than Raiders of the Lost Ark. So Raiders of the Lost Ark, if you're a dude, come on.
Come
on. This is like 10 whips in the air. We're giving this 10 whips in the air. We're giving this 20 shots of whiskey before the Tibetan guy falls over. It's one for the ages again. It's in the pantheon. Let's go for it.
3, 2, 1, 0. Thanks for listening to Rocket Pop Reviews. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share with your friends. See you next time for another family-friendly review.